Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 585, Installation 01, recorded live on June 20th, 2017. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are taking a break from normal podcasting routine to do a special interview with a community project that's been going on for, I think, a couple of years or so. They had a nice little cinematic trailer get released about 2 months ago, and we are happy to have the folks from the community project Installation 01 on the show tonight. So I'm going to hand it over to Church and Chunkier Beam to introduce the guests that they have on from the development team. So take it away, guys.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Everyone, I'm Church. I am the co-lead and project manager for Installation 01.
And I'm the Chunkier Beam.
With me here, we have...
Who are you screwing up?
With me here, we have my lovely co-lead, the Chunkier Bean.
Hello, I am Chunkier Bean, and I am the project founder, project lead, and creative director.
Very cool.
Indeed.
And we have two other representatives from our team to talk about other cool technical and art perspective things.
Yeah, you do.
So we have our senior art lead, Greg Wasdyke.
Senior!
he's a very old man. He's a very senior art lead. He does our UNSC art style stuff, and he's very good at it. We also have the brains behind our cinematic trailer that you mentioned, that you guys may have seen a couple weeks ago. Matthew Lake, the man, the myth, the legend.
Hello, my name is Matthew Lake.
Yes! He said it. So yeah, this is us. Representatives from Installation 01, at your service.
We are here awesome. To serve.
Well, it's great to have you guys on the show. I know there's been a lot of hype behind your project, and with the cinematic trailer, I think a lot of people got some attention to it, which is awesome. Church, why don't you just do a quick introduction of what Installation 01 is? I think a lot of people know it's kind of a community mod project. It's nothing officially endorsed by 343, but what is Installation 01, and why should people care?
Well, first off, I got to clarify one thing. We are not a mod, which is actually a common mistake that people make.
Sorry, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. You're El Dorito right. is another, or Project Cartographer. Those are examples of mods of existing Halo games. What sets our project, and there are other projects like ours, apart is the fact that we're building a Halo sandbox community multiplayer experience from the ground up, in our case, in the Unity engine. So, Installation 01 is a fan-made Halo game being made by Halo lovers from around the world. Our biggest aim, we want to build an artistic tribute to Halo that recreates the multiplayer experience of the Bungie-era games. And we want to bring this game, free-to-play, to all PC platforms, Windows, macOS, and Linux. And yes, that is a canned statement. I literally read it right off of our About page. Thumbs up.
And I want to clarify, free-to-play as in like literally 100% free.
No microtransactions, no paid DLC. Yeah, like, this game is 100% free.
No ads served on the game. You download the launcher, you log into an account, and you play the game. It doesn't get much more complicated
than that.
Doesn't
get better than this.
So how big is the team behind Installation 01? That you're making this available
on our site, you can see who's on the team currently. Church, was it about 35, 40 people working on the team?
It's literally just me.
Yeah, it's just Greg, actually. Newsflash, guys, he made everything.
We got about 40 to 50 people on the roster, and just like people who either have been on the team in the past 6 months, 2-3 years, or are part of the team but don't necessarily have as much time to contribute. Active membership, I'd say we have between 25 and 30. Just people who routinely contribute to the game. They're active in our development server, and they take place in our weekly meetings, stuff like that. Probably about 25 or 30.
Field Train says 58 here.
58. Okay.
Yeah, 58. I'm reading the chat.
Wow. We don't even know our own team, guys. I apologize.
But of those 58, and this is kind of the nature of the project too, is it's a community source project. Everyone here we have our own lives. We have our own things that we do. Like, several of us are students. Some of us have full-time jobs. It's a passion project more than anything else. We devote what time we have to make this happen. And the beautiful thing about that is we can pull in talent from the community, even if it's just like some guy that wants to come in and make, he's like, oh, I have a really awesome assault rifle model that I want you guys to use, just as an example. And we're like, well, if you could make these changes to it, and if you have the time to match our workflow and to make it fit with our art style and design aesthetic, yeah, that's absolutely something we could do. We love getting input from the community. And honestly, we need a lot of artists. So that's definitely a big thing, is just how community driven the whole thing is.
That's awesome. Is there a lot of open community support for it? I mean, how much do you guys really allow other people to come in and help playtest? Because I know there's some other community projects out there where it's very close-knit, very much only people that are approved to work on the project and work on it. Are you guys kind of more open about that? Are you kind of locked down and who can help out with what? How easy would it be for someone to get involved with Installation 01?
Well, I mean, Church, if I can take this over.
Yes,
this is kind of like my domain. When it comes to that, like, playtesters, we're not essentially hiring playtesters. I'm always on the lookout my own from playtesters. You know, basically, I go through everyone in the community, you know, and I see how, you know, they behave, you know, how they react. You know, I want to have really sharp and talented people, you know, be able to playtest us, and, you know, people who are also available to playtest with us, just so we can release a game that's just not a buggy mess and really make sure it feels like a Halo experience on the computer.
So
we're not really in like a hiring state in terms of playtesters.
We do keep it pretty closed down. We've got a section of people that playtest. Some of them are content creators. Some of them are people that we've picked from our Discord servers or from our community, like Bean said. But when it comes to actually being on the team and the project, I think, compared to some other projects, our barrier to entry is probably pretty low, just in terms of accessibility. Like, we, you know, you message a lead, if it's art, like, we'll point you to Isaac or Derek. If you want to join the code side of things, we'll point you to Luke or Lucas. And basically, we want to evaluate your skill to see how well you'd fit onto the team and what you'd be able to contribute to the project. But that's really the big thing, is just having something that you can do and that you can do well, and having a passion for the Halo community and wanting to build this game. Those are really the only two things that we ask for out of members on IL1.
Okay, so there's a lot of room for people to actually, if they have the background and experience to really work on a project like this, then it seems like a pretty good in. And is it something where you, like, if someone is just trying to get into it and want to get some exposure, that you would kind of take like an intern type of thing where they want to test out their skills? Or are you looking for more kind of seasoned veterans when it comes to their specific area of expertise?
Well, hey, Greg, how about you take this one? Because you've been working in the industry for a while, and you've also helped to mentor some of our up-and-coming 3D artists.
Well, I will start off by saying there are no seasoned veterans in this project. Luke works at an actual dev studio. Myself, I have a job at a small VFX studio here in Arizona. But for the most part, it's like the skill level, the bar for entry is mostly just, they need to be willing to learn. You know what I mean? A lot of our artists are people who are starting not quite from square zero, but they have a passion and they have demonstrated enough technical ability to be properly courted through the process. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Have a kind of an evaluation, and if someone can show some promise in getting into, or kind of building their skills within a certain area, then sounds like it's something that you're willing to let them try their hand at.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And Greg's being modest. When he says that we have no seasoned veterans, I would say that he's probably one of the closest things we have to seasoned 3D artist veterans, and that he's been doing this for a very long time. He's very, very good at what he does, and that's why we made him an art lead. And he has a lot of cool looking models that I hope you guys will be able to see. One of them is the assault rifle that is currently in the game, and he's making some armor sets that you guys might be able to see soon, and I think you'll be impressed by his work.
Soon, TM.
So for the, I guess, kind of, I'm not sure what the word I'm looking for is, but involved or big, or I'm not sure what the word I'm looking for, but with how big the project is, how long do you guys expect before it's something that could be a releasable title, for lack of a better word, or something that can be put out there as in like a nice package, and then you can keep on continuing it, whether it's adding new assets or new maps or modes or that kind of thing? How far are you looking out for some kind of first packageable game for people to play and download?
Min, you want to talk about the closed alpha?
Oh yes, the closed alpha. Are we going to talk about that officially here?
Yeah, we're officially going to talk about that, I think.
All right, I think this is time to discuss it.
Is this breaking news?
This is kind of breaking news.
Oh, wow.
I'll get to crack the beans open on this one. All right.
Oh, my gosh.
So, are they chunky beans?
They are very chunky. A little bacon in them, but they're very good. So, right now, before I start off, I wanted to say there is no dates confirmed right now. This all depends on our work schedules through the summer and how we go. However, we are looking at doing a closed alpha sometime in 2017. I'll say that at least. However, that could always change. But the closed alpha will consist... what can I talk about this, Church? I don't know.
I think that's enough for now. We want to do a closed alpha this year. We really want to do a closed alpha this year. Give people an opportunity to test the game. And we want people to actually give feedback. When we say an alpha test, we mean an actual alpha test. This isn't a, hey guys, play the game for 2 weeks, hope you enjoy. This is, hey, we want to make this game, right? And we want to make this game well. So feedback. Give us all of the feedback. That's what we want this to be about. And basically on our end, that means creating a minimum set of content, getting our code base fleshed out, getting everything to the point where we are ready to have a testing environment available to 2 and 4 people to play. Currently, our development goal is for that to happen this year.
Very cool. Very nice. There are the people in the chat joking, like, it's going to be December 29th or December 30th.
Actually, it's December 32nd. I had to say it, guys. I'm sorry, but
December 32nd. That's the day.
I knew you were adding leap seconds. I didn't know you were adding leap days.
Oh, yes, of course.
I thought that was done in February.
No, but if we definitely, the support of the project, you know, everyone's time dedicated to it definitely helps us get along with progress. And, you know, we will definitely want this to be a great experience for people, a starting experience for everyone.
Our biggest goal when we actually release is we want this to be as a big of a living platform as we can make it. Just delivering that core multiplayer experience with the availability of game types and configuration settings for game types and stuff like that. We want people to be able to continue to make new things out of our game as much as people are able to make new game types all the time out of real Halo games and stuff like that. We want this to be something that people can continue to play long after we actually release it.
And with the alpha, are you looking at a certain population, or is it going to be kind of just however many you deem should be let in after like a comfortable amount that you think will provide feedback? Or is that too early to really talk about?
I won't talk about it much. However, there's one thing I will say. The more people on the site, the higher people in the alpha. That's all I'm saying.
We have 40,000 people signed up with accounts on Installation 01's site right now. Our initial estimate when we first were talking about setting up the alpha was a lot smaller than it is now that we see all the people who have signed up to play the game. We don't have a final number for you guys, but it's going to depend on how many people are signed up on the site at that time.
Well, you're just getting another one now, so.
There are currently 40,887.
Gamer tag.
What?
Ooh, that's really quite unfortunate.
Well, man, it's not like we have a database or anything that could change that, but I'm just like
the powers that be.
But seriously, on a more serious note, we have 41,000 people signed up to play the game right now,
and that is just tremendous support. Like,
and if you told me that, so we released the website just a couple months ago. When we first released the website and opened up signups, if you told me that we were going to have 40,000 people signed up to play our game when it released now, I would tell me that I was crazy.
Yeah, very crazy.
You're crazy. Oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
I want to kind of jump to some questions before I ask any more, and I want to give GT an opportunity to ask some questions from him too. But we did have a couple of questions from our Twitch chat on our last podcast that I want to cover real quick.
All right.
First one is from Confel, and I think he might be in the chat right now.
Hi.
He says, will there be split screen?
Something we can't really talk about right now.
We don't even know if it's feasible yet.
Yeah.
And if it is feasible or if it's not feasible, that's going to be determined by Unity. That's that. If it's something that we can not do, it will be because the Unity engine doesn't really allow us to do it.
You can already open two copies of the game though, and just resize the window. Slap them on each monitor if you want, which is how we've been testing for a while.
Like 8 and 16 player split screen.
You just have to start 16 instances of the game.
Oh, jeez. You gotta have a beefy computer for something like that.
4 1080 Ti's. You know, just do it.
You know, you can just chump change.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's only $10,000 worth of graphic card.
Yeah, man. Actually, I'm not a poor as heck student or anything.
Actually, yeah. Well, if you had like a 2 monitor setup, you could. That'd be pretty optimal, actually.
Yeah, might be.
I've got 3, and one of them's a 4K.
Well.
So the 4K goes to the cheater.
Dang.
Next question comes from Laird. He says, "What are the system requirements to run the game at optimal resolution and frame rate?"
You'll need to go to the NASA headquarters and run it on their supercomputer.
Yeah, you're gonna need like render farms. on a more serious note, if you want to get 1080p 60 FPS, I would say it's probably not gonna vary much from like what you see spec wise on like modern day PCs, like modern day games that require that. So like the 1080p 60 FPS. You're going to need probably an i5 processor and a 960 or 970 at the very, very least. We haven't had the opportunity to test it with a lot of different hardware yet, but it's run for the lightweight version of the game that we have right now. It runs either pretty well or pretty horribly build to build. So, because occasionally our programmers program in lovely bugs that drop frame rate from what was previously, 200 and something on my 1070, I drop down to 20 in the next build. So it's hard to tell right now. That stuff like system specs is going to be a lot more clear to us when we're closer to, something like that alpha or something that we're able to release publicly.
And I would say if we have a projection, it would be. If your computer can run Rocket League or like Halo Online, El Durito, you'll have a decent time.
Yeah, it's not going to be too beefy.
Not going to be too crazy, but there's going to be future proofing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Unity is a pretty diverse platform where it should be able to kind of accommodate for some, maybe not as high-end computers, and you should probably be able to run it on a lower resolution or frame rate, I would imagine. I'm assuming Unity scales pretty well.
Yeah, it does. We have had some people trying to run it at 480p and have said that it runs real well aside from low resolution. So, you can put it at whatever resolution you want.
Okay. The next one I have is from Pins Halo, and he was asking, what types of weapons will you be using? For example, the Halo 1 Magnum, the Halo 2 BR, etc. So are you guys looking at base weapon sets or remaking iconic weapons from the franchise?
So for weapons, we are looking at something like the IO 1 Magnum and the IO 1 BR. So we're going to be dealing with kind of balancing things on our own terms. I think for the most part, for referencing specific games, we're going to be somewhere in the Halo 3, Halo 2 kind of area. We've got, you know, the Covenant, the expanded Covenant arsenal that was brought in Halo 2. That stuff's definitely going to be making a return, the fuel rod cannon and all that. Yeah.
So are you looking at a lot of repurposing or trying to model stuff based off of the games that are out there? Or are you kind of making your own weapons from scratch with what's been done in Halo as kind of a loose representation of what you guys are looking for?
More the latter, but not so much a loose representation. Okay, so here we go. You ready?
Design talk with Greg. Yes,
here we go.
Here we go. All right. So basically, our philosophy, my philosophy at least, is to imagine that every asset that we're tackling for Installation 01 is a movie prop for a hypothetical Halo film. So I'm imagining what the fabrication process would be for each and every one of these weapons and armor sets and all that shit, right? And from there, we just kind of implement as many of those like real world design elements that you don't usually think about when you're putting together game assets, like glue seams or weld seams on metal, lots of screws everywhere. You know what I mean? And that stuff that is not
a lot of attention to detail stuff.
Very much.
Yeah.
So.
And that would be that stuff that unfortunately isn't really present in Halo itself after 2, you know, after 1, I would say. Like, I'm going to, like, say right now, Halo 1 aesthetically is my favorite. Closest? I'm sorry, I'm reading the chat right here. There were technically 2 Halo movies. One of them was the first half of Starship Troopers, and then it just ends on a bad anime action scene. Yeah. And the other one is Pitch Black without Riddick. The other one is Pitch Black without Riddick.
But yes, we actually have looked at the way that they made the props for those movies, and not necessarily use those as reference, but use those as, hey, you can see how that was crafted. Let's emulate that with the way that we make our assets to make sure that they look like they've actually been built, look like they've been crafted, and less like, look at this sci-fi hunk of metal. Behold the bullets that emanate from the sci-fi hunk of metal.
Mm-hmm.
There's a design principle that goes into pretty much every asset.
Look at this beautiful curvy Spartan armor that has no attachment points anywhere. How did he get in? How's he gonna get out? He was born in the armor, and it was just cast in a huge metal smelting area. Yeah.
And a lot of things, something else we do for the designs and aesthetic, because I think that's more along the lines of what you were asking for the question, is we look not only at concepts and designs from people like Sparth and Isaac Hannaford, who have done stuff within the Halo universe, or Sheik Wang, the original, the OG. Yeah.
Sheik Wang.
We look at the stuff that they have done for the Halo universe, but we also look at stuff that inspired them design and aesthetic-wise. Like, we have a section of our game design document dedicated to influences for our project. We have Halo, we have Marathon, Unreal, Aliens, Starship Troopers, Ringworld, Ghost in the Shell, Gundam. We've got a lot of stuff on there that talks about what we draw inspiration from, not just for the theme and the style of our project, but also the art aesthetic and the way that we build our assets. We look back to the things that inspired the people that made the original Halo games, and we try and employ them in the same kind of way, but with our own spin on it.
That's a pretty diverse set of inspirations and where you're pulling stuff from, because each one has some similarities, but some very distinct differences too. So
I mean, yeah. It's Halo takes inspiration from stuff like everyone knows about its connections to aliens and stuff. But like looking at the different games, there's some props, like small props, incidental stuff that is ripped straight out of Ghost in the Shell. And no one really thinks about it, but there's a lot of like weird, obscure things out there that have influenced Halo at a core level.
Yeah, references.
Ghost in the Shell is not obscure.
Yeah,
but yeah, Ghost in the Shell is not obscure, but you know what I mean.
Yes,
but we kind of look at those things and we use them as our own design inspiration, which definitely takes a lot of work, but it ends up paying off.
Awesome. GT, you got anything you want to throw out there?
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about your armor designs and stuff and where you're drawing the inspirations from. How many, roughly how many armor sets are you looking to launch with? Or has that even been a discussion yet?
I don't think we've ever mentioned that before, like specific numbers. But we definitely want to give people like player customization options. If you guys have seen the Q&A that we did back in March, some of the footage that we showed off in that showed off a little bit of our customization menu. And even though we only had three armor sets in that build of the game, we have a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We have currently 12 armor sets that we want to do just at some point in the future. I can't say how many of those will be in the alpha if and when that's released, or how many of those are going to be in the final game. But we have 12 armor sets that we know for sure that we want to do. And I'm sure you guys have seen, like Halo 5, there's, what, 60 armor sets or something like that? We definitely won't get to all of those. And but you'll see some reimaginings of classic designs. You'll see some original designs. And I'm going to call it now. You're going to see at least three armor sets that you have never seen in a released Halo game before, ever.
Dang, Church, these leaks.
Are they, I guess they're obviously probably inspired off of something, but.
Yeah, they are.
Are something. They similar to stuff, or are they completely new concepts outside the Halo realm?
Yes,
Mario. That's Greg's answer. Yes.
Okay.
On your customization, you'll have to excuse me. I have not seen the information on that. But what type of customization are you shooting for? Are we shooting like for like a Halo Reach style of customization? Or are we doing like a Halo 5 style
Halo Reach, but more? Literally every piece of armor is interchangeable.
It's like a wider range of customizations. There's no real set kind of, you know, this is Reach. This is Street. So we take the best from every.
Currently, you have helmet, torso, and torso includes the space diaper, as I love to call it. Upper arms, lower arms, upper leg, lower leg.
And nice. The arms can be separated left and right.
Yeah, so all of those are left and right differentiable. And that's helmet. In the game. Yes, I think we already talked about helmet. And that's all in the game currently.
So is any of this inspired by novels or other Halo fiction that isn't just the games?
I'm trying to think. I don't think any of the... Actually...
Yes. I'm just going to... Yes.
Yes.
there are two armor sets specifically. I'm not going to name them, but like I know that they're on the list.
Yeah, I'm looking at the list right now, and there are two.
Okay. I guess we're not getting those two as of names. But
No, you're not getting names. That's very correct.
But, you know, as long as you've got the Gundam armor on there that when I, you know, I hit, push down on the left stick, I transform into a space jet.
Sounds hot.
Right?
Yeah. Like a Transformer?
It could happen, maybe. You play as Optimus Prime and I'll...
Don't give him ideas. Oh. Don't let feature creep happen.
So a couple of people have asked this, and we actually had a few other people ask it on last week, or 2 weeks ago recording, and I think maybe one on Twitter. I don't think this really is an issue, but any worries about a cease and desist?
Ah, the lovely question.
the question that we always get no matter where we go.
Everything we do. I mean, it's understandable, of course. You see a project of this scale and scope and attention. I mean, yeah, I guess people will come to the assumption like, oh, well, aren't they going to do anything about this? I mean, they're using their stuff.
We get the question asked probably on a daily basis somewhere.
I'm glad
out
you
there.
Asked it, by the way. I'm glad you put it as a question and not, you guys are going to get shut down. And yes. I can't wait to be there when it happens.
Yeah, no, that's what we get. That's what we get most of the time.
Well, for me, from my perspective, honestly, I've been in the community for a long enough time where I think it's reasonable to say that 343 really does value community projects like this, and where you see a very select few people of other entities outside of Microsoft or 343 actually making money off of it, like Rooster Teeth.
Mm-hmm.
343 has been very supportive, and even Bungie, when they were running the show with Halo, were very supportive of community involvement and investment to really just create additions onto the universe. It's something that I think they really pride themselves with and really make it a point to showcase community content that doesn't violate the guidelines. And
we do our best to match those guidelines.
Right. Like Greg was saying earlier, it's absolutely free, which is one of those stipulations on the game usage agreements, that if you're using the IP, that you can't make money off of it.
So I can say that I'm not particularly worried at all. I've always said this when asked.
I wouldn't be either.
No, I'm not worried. We do a very good job, and we work very hard to stay within the game content usage rules that Microsoft has outlined. It's basically our Bible. We bring it up many times. We talk about it pretty much every meeting, because like even people on the team have concerns sometimes about, well, what if we do get shut down, or what if this happens, or what if that happens? And we are very, very careful.
We're not dealing with Konami here.
Yeah, we're not dealing with Konami. We're not dealing with Nintendo. My thinking is that if we were going to be shut down, we would have already. Our project's been a thing for 3 years, and while we haven't necessarily been in vogue or pretty very popular up until quite recently, I'm pretty sure that if we were going to get a cease and desist in the mail, we would have come about when we did when we released our website, or we would have when we did our Vidoc last year, or we would have when we did our cinematic trailer. We're gaining a lot of traction in the community. We're getting a lot of community support from members of, even from prominent members in the current Halo community. And I think that's an awesome thing. And I think that we just need to continue to be vigilant and work to build our game, but build our game within the guidelines and kind of guardrails that 343 and Microsoft have set up for us in the game content usage rules. And I think if we do that, we'll get to our finish line.
I hope no one notices that IO1 is actually a stolen copy of Halo 6.
I mean Halo 7.
Teen. Oh,
we're going that far.
Already, wow.
Yeah.
Jeez, all right.
They've traveled back from the future
to bring you the Halo 6 source code. Yeah.
Halo come to life. But yeah, I think you guys are pretty much in the safe zone as far as the stuff that you're working on, and it seems that there is a lot of support for the project, and I would imagine that there's probably some people at 343 that are really excited to see what you do with it, and heck, maybe even get ideas on some of the stuff that you guys do.
Yeah, like at end of the day, we are doing this for free. Like Church said earlier, we all do have our own jobs and people, students or whatever, and just do this as a hobby. Like, why would they go shut somebody down just that's doing this for pure passion, something trying to dedicate? Like, they don't go shutting down Machinimas or like El Dorito, that hasn't been cease and desist. Like, all these kind of community projects, Project Cartographer, they're all about, and they're not receiving letters in the mail. Like you say, it's just a pure passion project, and why would they do that?
Yep.
Also, Matt, you're here?
Yeah, hello. I'm awfully quiet.
Yeah.
I'm just sat here waiting for the animation talk.
We never get to that point. Rip.
Well, one of the other questions, and I forget who asked this up in the chat. It was a little while ago, but I'm going to kind of retool the question. I think it may have... No, never mind. Someone was asking in the Twitch chat about breakable glass, and I'm going to take that one step further. Destructible environments, is that something that you guys are looking into?
Like, down to what
level? Are we kind of talking like Battlefield?
Down to what degree?
Any degree. Like, how far of a degree are you guys thinking of? Just like explosive barrels or broken windows? Well, or are you looking at...
That's a...
Well, fusion coils will exist in the game.
Breakable windows. Those are kind of integral.
Yeah, we want to do stuff that like that Halo has, but you probably won't see a fully destructible sandbox in IO1. And that's a big engine limitation. There's only so much that the Unity engine can do. And while it would be awesome if we could work and it bring something in like the Havoc physics engine into Unity, we don't really have the development time or intent to do that. And because that's a very hard thing to ask,
like
destructible environments, and to network it all. There's just a lot of factors that are involved with that. So it's a limitation of the engine can do it. We just do not have probably the time and expertise to implement something super in depth in terms of destructible environments in the game. Now, breakable glass. We can probably do something like that because that's not as difficult. You know, explosive barrels, that's super integral. Like, but you probably won't see much more in terms of destructible environments than you see in Halo games currently. Like, you know, maybe we'll have, you know, destructible wooden pallets or stuff, but you won't see fully destructible environments, that's for sure.
Unless the map creation tools allow for like hacky destruction. Like how I've seen people do like destroyable walls in Halo 5 Forge and stuff like that.
And I just also want to say something super quick, not only is in terms of a technical side, but when it comes to a balancing side as well, you know, destructible environments, you know, you have a set map arena, and when it comes to balancing, you know, things change over time, can get kind of pretty hard to balance the map out when, you know, this wall can be destroyed and that can fall down. But if it's like randomized and,
yeah, exactly. Something you see in pro players of Halo games, especially, is they get really good at mastering the weapon churn. They get really good at knowing just how the maps work, just how to how their player physicality interacts with the maps, like trick jumps, stuff like that. That's the Halo multiplayer experience right there. The golden triangle of movement, weapons, and forget the other one right now because I'm
vehicles.
Yeah, movement, weapons, and vehicles. Yeah, the golden triangle.
Yeah, and we've actually
weapons and vehicles, and everything has a place in the sandbox. And destructible environments do not have a place in that sandbox. It's just not the type of gameplay that Halo is.
We got Blaze here in the chat saying he's one of our level designers, Blaze Dillon. Shout out to my boy. He says that's also bad for gameplay in most cases. It would take away from what Halo feels like, in my opinion.
And we second that opinion. Yeah, he designs a lot of our maps, so yes, his opinion is pretty much law.
Speaking of maps, this question hasn't come up yet, but how many maps are you guys thinking about making, or do you want to make?
Lots.
I want to make Halo 3 Anniversary on PC.
We're gonna make big maps. We're gonna make small maps. Wait, we're gonna have maps in between the big and the small. We're gonna have so many maps. We want to do a lot of maps.
Like, we've scanned in all of Google Earth.
You can play on Earth.
So you're the PUBG of Halo.
We're PlayStation Home.
We're PlayStation Home. We want to have a good amount of maps. How many we'll have at release is definitely a good question, because it takes, I'm going to say, close to a month, maybe two, of development time to have a map, to bring a map from concept phase and blockout to a fully fleshed out thing, and in the engine and everything set up well. So that's a lot of development time. So it's really just going to be determined on how much development time we can contribute to them. Yeah.
As far as your alpha are you focusing more on the small maps like a 4v4, or are you going to try to bring in maybe something that would be like, you know, Blood Gulch style map or size map?
Let me see. I think we have like one very small arena size map, one more medium sized, and one a little bit larger that we want to have in the alpha.
We've shown two maps.
Like it's a testing environment, right? Mm-hmm. So you want people to be able to test all the aspects of the game. So even if it's, we want to have a variety in maps that are available for people to test.
Is there any, you know, like player cap count that you're trying to fit these maps into?
We'll have at least 16. We definitely want it to be the classic Halo experience. So we're going to have at least 16. Anything beyond that is going to depend entirely on our networking. How many players can it support? And we haven't. Well, for one thing, a lot of the systems aren't even complete, so it's hard to test it currently. Because, like, say we can load, let's say maybe we loaded 64 players into a match right now. Well, technically all the systems aren't implemented right now, so the networking is going to be a little bit more convoluted by the time we come closer to an end, to like an end product. So what 64 players now might equate to 32 players later. It's just something that we don't know yet.
But you're currently not looking to really go beyond the 16 person count?
I wouldn't not at say this time. That. I wouldn't say that. I would rather say we want to make sure that we can support 16 and support 16 well before we look at anything more than that.
That's fair enough.
Realistic goals, man. Realistic goals.
We can only have. Yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, but.
No, you're good.
When he says 16, he means 16 versus 16 versus 16.
No, he means 61 versus 61.
No.
I mean 16 squared, guys. Come on. Or 16 to the
16th.
Oh, yeah, wow. 16 to the 16 players.
That's a lot.
Wait, how much is that? Calculate.
It was 9 billion. Oh.
16 to the 16th.
Oh, my gosh. 1.844. Times e to the 19.
Yeah, that many players. Sure.
Sure.
So billion is 12, trillion is 15, quadrillion is 18. So 18 quadrillion people.
18 quadrillion simultaneous players. As soon as the world population catches up, we'll be golden. We will be golden.
And all those people on Bud Gulch.
Oh, my gosh. That has to be a pretty big Blood Gulch.
You throw a grenade and you get a kill billionaire or something like that.
Kill billionaire? Quick, Church, write that down.
Kill billionaire.
Let's make the game like Nightfall. You just set a nuke off at the end and the whole game explodes.
Oh, there you go.
Let's not go Call Nightfall. Of Duty here.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, Nightfall. Don't you mean Pitch Black without Riddick?
I don't know, in Halo Wars 2, one of the skulls, if a Spartan dies, it erupts in a nuclear-style explosion.
Yeah, it's possible. Well, that's because technically Spartans are carrying nuclear reactors around on their backpack.
Well, they are. True.
Honestly, they should explode in a nuke, like, every time they get assassinated. Every kill? There's a game mode.
Nice. So I have a few more questions from Twitter. First one comes from Unikraken, my nice fellow friend over from Since the Prophets. He asks, how are you going to handle anti-cheat systems?
Ooh, that's a very good question.
That is a Church question.
It is a Church question. Resident, even though I don't technically do code for the project, resident code knowledge person. So we handle networking using host authority. So there's going to be like one player in the game. If it's a peer-to-peer session or just a match-made session, it's going to be probably randomly selected based on the person who has the most stable connection.
So back to Halo 3.
Well, yeah, basically, unless you're footing the bill for servers, for dedicated servers.
Well, that brings up another question after this.
Peer-to-peer. But... Yes, it will, and we'll get to that one in a second. But anti-cheat is going to be handled as much as we can by host authority and also just doing what we can to verify local game files and make sure they aren't altered. But, you know, it's a Unity game. I'm sure people know how to break Unity games 6 ways from Sunday. We'll do what we can, but it's like with any game. If people want to mod the game, they will mod the game, and we're going to rely on people, I guess, reporting them and doing what we can to ban those players and stuff like that. But people are, unfortunately, they're going to figure out ways to mod the game, and we'll do what we can. And I actually see a question by Zigrath in the Twitch chat right now about dedicated servers. We want to make available a headless version of the game that you might just, you know, boot through the game UI.
So kind of like how the Halo CE on PC servers kind of are.
Yeah, kind of. So you'll be able to host your own servers. And if, yes, technically somebody could mod the game. And if they had a version of the host, then guess what? You'd be playing on a modded server. Rest in peace. But it's not something that we plan to support, and we'll do what we can to the extent that we can. Like, we look at what other companies and what other games do in terms of anti-cheat, and we try and replicate those systems to the best of our ability. But, like, I mean, Denuvo's been cracked. Everything gets cracked. So, yeah, including my voice, apparently. everything gets cracked. And we'll do what we can, but we can't guarantee that it's going to be a perfectly no-cheat system, because such a system does not exist.
For things like dedicated servers, we have serverless, like for Halo 1 PC and Halo 2 Vista. Is there going to be kind of a dedicated serverless where you'll maybe either it be kind of like a featured server list, or is it going to be something where you have to have either a friends list, if you guys implement a friends list type feature, or have it to where people have to enter in an IP address?
Oh, we'll definitely have a server browser. Yeah, that goes without saying. We'll have a server browser. We'd like to do matchmaking, and we're working on developing matchmaking systems. But that's something that we need to build. So build from the ground up. Wait and see. Soon TM. We will have peer-to-peer, and we will have a server browser at the very least, because those are things that we already have in the game right now, so we know that they work.
And is that based off of servers checking in and then updating a centralized service with that, or how is that server browser?
Yeah, basically we have a server up in the sky that our clients send their connection information to if and when they host a server. And then that server up in the sky populates that to other clients, to other games that exist out there, and people can join.
And kind of to bounce off the matchmaking stuff, someone asked this question on Twitter, but I think one of your folks answered it. But you are planning on having a ranking system.
Yes, we do. And I actually did see that comment. We're going to have both a linear rank system, so just judging progression. So, you know, you're not going to de-rank from that, whether or not we just have a rank cap that is hard to attain, or we do like a prestige system, still up in the air. We're still playing with ideas with that, see what we like and see what people are interested in. But we're going to have two different ranking systems. One of them is linear and progression based, and you won't be able to de-rank from that unless you get banned. And then there's going to be a skill-based ranking system, and you will be able to de-rank from that.
So very similar to how Halo kind of has been ever since Halo 2, where there's been a visible rank, and then the behind-the-scenes... Well, I guess the progression rank really hasn't been there since... Or it's only Halo been there 3. Since Halo 3.
Yeah, Halo 3 was the originator of the like skill rank system.
Well, Halo 2 had the skill rank. Halo 3 had the
XP rank system. Progression.
Yeah. Yes, I should rephrase that. Halo 3 was the first game to have both systems.
Yeah. A couple of other questions, and then I think that's all the ones I have from social media. So for people in the chat, keep asking away, and we'll get to them here in a minute. Will there be old and new game types in the game? So are there some game types that you guys are thinking of that are different from Halo, or are you guys just kind of focusing on the core Halo ones right now?
I think everything that you've seen in the classic Halo experience in the basic sense of form. So like Capture the Flag, Slayer, that's going to be there for sure. When it comes to special game modes like, you know, Infection, Juggernaut, we'd like to have those there, but, you know, right now we're just focusing on the core game modes.
I think you'll hear us say this a lot. We focus on core content first, and then if and when we have development time, we branch out into things that people want to see.
Kind of leading into the next question, is there going to be support for community mods? So a couple of people have asked this in the chat already, and someone on Twitter said, for example, visuals, weapon skins, armor skins, that kind of stuff.
So this enters into some risky territory. And so first off, I'm just going to say, no, we do not plan to do mod support. And before community outcry ensues, we have a very, very good reason why.
Yep.
The reason that we do not want to do mod support is because we work really hard to make sure that our game stays within the boundaries of the game content usage rules. And that means that everything that goes into the game, we control. Like, it's curated and made by our dev team. We know where it's all coming from. We see, like, if somebody's working on an armor asset, we see all of it start from the ground up. And we know that that's an asset that they made. And we know that we can control, like, how graphic it is. We can control basically everything about assets that go into the game. With mod support, we can't control anything. And what happens if someone puts, like, nudity in our game? Well, that's just swell. And that's totally something that I'm sure Microsoft would love to see in a game.
Or what happens when somebody puts ripped content from other Halo games?
Exactly. That's probably our primary concern. Then, to go further, the fact that Unity by default doesn't support like moddability in games, meaning we would have to write all our own tools from the ground up if we wanted to have mod support. It's basically like, it just gives us an excuse not to. And it's a welcome excuse because that's just territory that we really don't want to go in.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think a lot of it comes down to just making sure that you are within the guidelines so you can keep on developing this. Because if people go muck around and then you can't develop it, well, I mean, people are kind of shooting themselves in the foot.
Mm-hmm. But that being said, we want to make game type editing as in-depth as possible. And we want people. I see a lot of people in the chat asking how long we plan on supporting the game. Like, as long as there's people passionate about the project, I'm sure there's still going to be some people working on the project. I've been around for 3 years. I'm one of the oldest members of the team. You know, obviously, Bean was the founder of the project, so he's been around the longest. But as long as there's people passionate about this project, I don't see it going away.
Yay! Rejoice, people.
As Field Train just said in the chat here, we're looking at making Forge extremely comprehensive to the point where, like, you won't even miss mod tools.
Yep. That's the goal.
Yeah.
Don't break it.
One more question I have from Twitter. Will there be any MLG style area in the game? So something that supports clan versus clan or tournaments? Or is this something that could be organized on the website?
So, when it comes to clans for IO1, if you can remember what Halo 2 had for clans, it's just basically what IO1 will have. You'll be able to have a set group of friends that have a cool little tag next to them, but that's just pretty much it. No kind of setting up meetings or times. You guys have to do that on your own. That's all really I have to say about it. Church, anything else you want to say?
Yeah, you'll have friends, like you mentioned friends list before. You're going to have a friends list, and you're going to be able to see people online on your friends list and stuff like that. And basically, a clan tab is going to be like, a clan tab is going to be there as well. You want to see people in your clan as much as you want to see people on your friends list. So we'll have the system there if people want to use it.
GT, you have any questions at the moment?
I have one last question.
Uh-oh.
Why the Unity engine?
Should I do this one, Church?
I actually wrote an article about this. I'll see if I can find it. You go ahead, Bean.
Well, when it came to when I originally started IO1, Unity, just off the bat back in 2013, like, you could go on at website after website and after website, and there's just so much community content and feedback and help that you could get. There was engines, you know, back then, CryEngine, and Unreal was on, I think it was UDK at the time. Unreal 4 hadn't released. So a lot of stuff, you know, when you had to research how to, you know, add a weapon or program ray casting, all that was like super kind of complex with these other engines. However, there's like bucket loads of tutorials for Unity. So that for me stood out the most. But the other thing that really stood out, and this is my project philosophy in a sense, accessibility. I want people to play this game on whatever PC they can, you know, whether it be a Mac computer or a Ubuntu Linux machine. You know, cross-platform has always been super important to me. I don't want to limit people just because they have another computer. And it's Unity provides such easy tools to make cross-platform play very easy to develop.
Yeah, it's a very robust platform. I found the article, so I'll just read a little bit of it. There's Raspberry three big Pi reasons. No, please, no. People are like, oh, iOS support, Xbox support. It's like, oh, you do realize we're making it for PC, right? So there's three big reasons that we're going with Unity. The first is accessibility. Unity is a platform and engine which is accessible to both our artists and our coders. Makes it easy for people to jump in and begin working in the engine. If they're putting their assets in, that's awesome. If they're coding, that's awesome too. But it's just, overall, from the ground up, it's a very easy engine to work with, and it works really well with Git, G-I-T, which is what we use to sync our changes across everyone on the team. Like, everyone on the team who needs access to the repository has access to the repository, and maybe I make a change in the code, and then I push it, and then Greg and Matt and Bean, everyone else has access to that push. All they need to do is pull it back down, and then they have the change that I made on their local version of the game. And Unity works really well with that, so that makes it really easy for us. Second is just how much support, like Bean was saying, how much support there is for the engine. There's so much documentation, there's so many plugins, and it's really easy to make the game look good as well. Unity does a lot for us in terms of visuals, and it has a lot of awesome features that we can make use of, and the documentation is just very much present, and it's very much there. Third is compatibility. We want to do it multi-platform, which means that we program it in C#, which we can run on Windows, Mac, and Linux, and we can build for each of those operating systems, and now that we've upgraded to Unity 5.6, we can even make use of the Vulkan API, which makes stuff run, which gives us a little bit of a performance boost as well. There's a lot of reasons to use Unity, so we use Unity.
So with that, is there any... I know you guys are mentioning that you're really focusing on PC for this, but is there any possibility of doing a port for something like mobile? Like an Android, because Android is Linux, basically.
With this kind of caliber of a game and the amount of, you know, detail we're putting into it, it's just not something we want to focus on right now.
Yeah.
And another thing is, especially with first-person shooters on a mobile, doesn't exactly play all that great. I mean, with
maybe in 10 years, phones will be able to handle it.
And people also ask, like, why don't you guys just put it on Xbox? Well, it's like, well, hook me up with a publisher and get back to me. Like, sure, we can make a build for Xbox One and distribute it illegitimately, and people can run it on their dev machine, on their Xbox Ones that they've converted to dev machines, but no. just no. We're building it for
people. You're asking to die.
Yeah, exactly. That's the bridge that we would cross, and then we'd get in, then it would give us more opportunity to get into legal trouble, and that's obviously not a bridge that we want to cross. So you probably won't see installation of one on the Xbox. Just a heads up.
Or a mobile device.
We guarantee installation of one will come to Windows, macOS, and Linux. Probably nothing else. That's a lot of platform right there.
I don't know. Nintendo Switch is pretty appealing.
You mean I can't have it on my PS Vita?
No. Gosh, no.
The N64, dude. Come on.
Yeah,
what,
man.
What about my real Commodore target. 64?
Hey, I'll one up you. I'm going to run it on my Ouya.
Oh. I've got an NVIDIA Shield.
Oh boy. You mean the Nintendo Switch Lite?
Oh god.
Or you mean the Nintendo Switch minus DRM?
Yeah. Sure.
You're making it sound really good.
I think I can dig up an Atari 2600 somewhere.
Hey, Atari's making a new console. You never know. They may ask us to hook IO1 into the new Atari console. Wait, I don't know.
They are?
Are they?
Yeah. You guys didn't see the E3 buzz for...
I missed that.
What? Yeah, I missed that too.
Atari's making a new console, boys.
This is no longer the IO1 podcast. This is the Atari...
It's going to be the Atari 2610.
Oh, jeez.
2610, I think that was never, but 2016 was last year.
Well, I think they referred to the 2600 as the console.
Oh, the 26. I get it. I see. I'm
sorry, church. Some of us aren't as fast as the others.
It's okay.
You guys aren't making me feel any younger.
What's an Atari? Is that like a toaster?
Yeah. I think you. Never mind.
Well, there's a lot more questions that we can ask, but I definitely want to have you guys on again and talk about more stuff, especially when we get closer to the alpha release.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Wait, I have a question.
Yes.
Well, Greg has a question. What?
Tables have turned.
Yeah. So, Matt.
Hello.
Matt.
Yeah, so I'm nice and comfy.
Tell us about your mocap workflow.
Yeah, no, do that, and talk about how the cinematic was made. Do that. That would be cool.
If that's all right.
Oh, it's a time to shine, is it? Right. Well,
I'm not gonna let you peter out.
The cinematic pipeline for the kind of motion capture stuff. I can get quite technical and nerdy with this, or I can give a kind of high level view. Should I go
high level?
Quite technical?
High level's good. High level's good.
Okay. So the setup we have is a motion analysis Hawk system. Each camera costs about $25,000, and the whole rig has 12 cameras.
Jeez.
So it's like half a million. Yes, I know. The equipment is incredible. And basically, there's 12 of these scattered around the room. And they're all infrared cameras. And around them, I don't know if you've seen a mocap camera before, they basically have a red ring with a camera in the middle, and the red ring sends out infrared into a room. So we have like a capture volume. And then obviously you put the ping pong ball suit on, and they have the reflective markers, which is the high-vis material, if you've ever wore a high-vis jacket before, like construction site workmen use. But this material reflects directly back. So basically what the cameras do is they shine the infrared into the scene, the balls bounce it straight back, and then the camera picks it up. So then a couple of them triangulate the point in 3D space. And then basically you've got a whole character of points in 3D space, and then you get this on a computer, and it's just a 3D volume of just loads of dots. And that's all you get from the kind of raw data. I'm sure some people might have used like Kinect for mocap or something, but you get like a nice character out of that straight away, and it's animatable. Boom, done. But with these kind of industry grade systems, all you get is point data, and you basically have to map these onto a character. So you get 2 points, and basically you turn the positions from one point to another, from position data into rotational data. So it's quite a chore. You've got to do that for every bone. So that's the kind of mocap pipeline. You imagine you've got to do that on every single shot, which isn't fun. It's quite tedious until you get to the action, until it's on a character, but it takes some time to get onto a character. I'm getting loads of messages right now. Are you? Fund. Yeah, yeah. Ping, 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 ping while I'm talking. And then through Motion Builder, I retarget it onto a character, and then I drag that into our custom rigs inside of 3ds Max, which is where I primarily animate. So you kind of get the raw data. It's kind of a mess. You tidy up, make it look really pretty and nice, and chuck it in the Uni, and then you just render it, and it looks beautiful.
So, and it does look beautiful.
Easier said than done. That's just the mocap stuff. That doesn't even take honestly, into consideration.
That's a really, really undetailed description of how, yes. of how that stuff actually works. So if you want to have a podcast about the gory details of game development, oh boy, can we deliver. Because it's, hey, it's 90% of our free time. Oh boy.
Yeah, like, I felt this podcast being very kind of about the game, and we could talk for hours about the processes and the type of stuff that we do. Like, from an animation standpoint.
We'll definitely be visiting this again.
Yeah.
And we definitely want to have you guys back on. I just don't want to carry this one on too long and keep you guys longer than you need to be. But there's definitely a lot that we can talk about on future shows.
Honestly, we're just grateful. We're happy you guys gave us the opportunity. Like, this was very cool. Like, I was telling you guys before we got the official recording started, this is my fanboy moment. Don't get angry at me. I've been listening to Podtacular for about 7 years now. So OG-ish fan here. And it was definitely exciting when you guys, I forget who reached out to who. When conversations began, it was exciting.
Well, we showed the trailer in our pre-roll, and we talked about it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And then you reached out to us. Yeah, because
you talked about it on the...
I think we heard it, and we're just like, oh!
Yeah, I was listening to... I remember I was listening to the weekly podcast, and I'm like, wait a minute, they're talking about my project. That's awesome.
I proceeded to get 350 messages from church like, oh my god, we were talked about on Podtacular. And I'm like, what's Podtacular? And he's like, yeah, are you kidding?
Yeah, Bean is a heathen. He doesn't know about Podtacular.
I'm sorry. I can't help it. I'm just horrible. But blame Bean.
Yep. No, blame him. Blame him for everything.
Well, he is it sounds like the idea behind the project. So yeah, blame him.
You know, it's just
you
funny.
You gotta walk around the grocery store wearing a Podtacular shirt. Everybody kind of looks at you like, what the heck is that?
Don't worry, I'm just Podtacular.
And then you get that one random guy on the other side of the store that puts his thumbs up.
That's awesome.
That is pretty awesome, actually.
By the way, true story.
I figured it was.
If only he had known that you were one of the hosts of Podtacular.
Church, you think it's a good idea if I can make an IL1 shirt and just wear it everywhere?
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
I'll just wear it everywhere. Someone notice me, please. Hey, you're that, like, baked bean dude. Thanks.
Are you that chunky, you know? Bro? Are you that
we
chunky
are currently
man?
We are currently in talks to purchase Bush's baked beans. Oh, like, no. Right now.
Thinking about those beans.
Well, you know the golden retriever in those commercials, right? That's essentially me, just in dog form.
You are already in dog form.
Unikraken's asking in the chat, are we going to be at PAX West? I'd like to be at PAX West.
Oh, yeah.
Someone buy me tickets.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I don't have the money to go to PAX West, but I'd love to be at PAX West. It's in it's
the West.
It's in Seattle. Yeah, no, I really want to go.
My girlfriend's sister lives there.
Yeah, well, Greg, you can go to PAX West. Yeah, I'd like to. I don't know if my college class schedule and everything else will permit me to go. I'd love to, and I think tickets are on sale now, right?
They're sold
out.
How
much are tickets?
They're sold out.
Never mind.
Dang it!
Oh, well, there we go.
I guess it's too late
PAX
for me.
PAX West ticket or PAX Prime to properly announce it, even though they call it that other name.
Maybe I can scalp a few and
what
find
lasted
a,
an hour.
Maybe I can see if I can scalp a few and find a plane ticket that won't rob me of my soul.
If you're really looking for one, I can put you in touch with a few people that could get you a ticket.
Oh, that'd be cool.
IL1 booth, guys, let's do it.
Well,
ah. Here's a cinematic on repeat.
Now let's see if I can find a plane ticket that won't destroy me in terms of the money department.
I find Spirit Airlines actually, because I had a last minute notice that I had a ticket for E3.
Yeah, that's right. I'm assuming you'll talk about that on a future podcast, so I won't get in. I won't ask you how that was right
now. Don't leak.
I haven't asked GT this yet, but we're probably going to do another recording later this week and do our E3 show, our E3 cool. recap.
That should be cool. I'm looking forward to listening to it.
Well, hopefully we gained a few more listeners. It sounds like you guys brought the crowd tonight, so thank you for that. In which case, we since we have so many viewers, I'm going to do a giveaway quick.
Ooh, free stuff!
Yeah, so I'm going to do two giveaways. I'm going to do one for a Master Chief armor. It's a Halo 4 Master Chief armor, Avatar armor. And I'm going to do another one for an Xbox Live $10 gift certificate.
Oh, man.
If,
bro, I'm broke.
If you're in the Twitch chat and if I draw your name, then yes, you may.
All right, I'm in the chat.
Watch it be church. Just watch it be church.
Fair warning. We have this guy that's in the chat. His name's Penn's Halo. For some reason, it tends to gravitate towards him. So everybody, put on your Penn's mask and maybe you'll win.
Just maybe.
Speaking of which, somebody got really lucky at E3.
Yes, we'll talk about that on the next show.
Is this a euphemism?
No, it's not. If you check Twitter, you'll see it. You'll see what they're talking about.
Oh, I saw. Okay, that's cool. Yeah. I actually commented. I just don't think you knew it was me.
Oh, yeah, probably not. All right, I'm locking in. Even though it says we have 50 viewers, I'm only seeing like 20 or so. No, actually, it's not copying at all. Dang it. Come on. Copy paste. It's not working. It's like breaking it up in a really weird way.
Sounds like Breaking Benjamin.
I don't trust the viewer list on Twitch anymore. It never seems to be right.
All right. Everyone who's in here, just type 1 in the chat, and that way I'll get a clean cut of who's actually paying attention. and I'll base it
the
off of that.
The first guys to type 1 are the guys you're
Church
talking
and
to.
Judging Greg straight on it. The first two.
I really want that Halo avatar.
And typing in 1 multiple times now is not going to help you.
By the way, that's going to be the announcer voice for IO1. Just
Slayer.
That's kill.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always disturbed. I'm used to it at this point.
Kilimanjaro.
That's pretty sad. So, everyone that's entered in 1, I'm going to take who is there now and lock that in. And while I do that, Church, you want to go ahead and kind of spread your social media locations that you have?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks. You can find us at our official website, installation01.org. On Twitter, we are at i01_game. And we're just installation01 on Facebook. And our YouTube channel is installation01 official. So I think it's youtube.com/installation01 official. So that's us. Go like, comment, and subscribe for more Installation 01 oh, content.
Remember, geez. One like feeds one feeds bean. One like feeds bean.
Check my SoundCloud, check my mixtape.
No, get I'm on a that. SoundCloud rapper.
Oh yeah, and the Discord is we are a Discord partner now. It's fancy and special. Yeah, we're a Discord partner. We get like the fanciest voice channels ever, and
someone gets a hoodie, I guess.
Stuff. Yeah, you can join our Discord server at discord.gg/installation01. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Watch the site explode.
Discord partners you.
Oh, Jeffet wants to know if he can drop his SoundCloud link, actually.
Yes, links are allowed, so go ahead.
Our composer,
yeah.
Jeffet.
Yeah, go buddy. Ahead.
Yeah, that's something that I wanted to talk about that we didn't really have time to talk about tonight. So I don't know when you guys would like to be back on, but I'm assuming as we get closer to you all having your public alpha or closed alpha, then that might be a better time to have you guys back on the show.
Well, I mean, you have our contacts now, so if you're, you know, interested in having us on at some point again in the future, you know, hit me up.
Awesome.
Talk to us. We like talking to people.
All right. First winner for the Halo 4 armor is going to be Joshy343.
Hey!
I know who that guy is. I know who that guy is.
I know who he is, too.
So just type in the chat to make sure that you're still here, and I will DM your code to you. Okay, there he is. Cool.
The DMs.
Sliding in.
Sliding in those DMs. And let me know, do you want a female or male avatar code?
Attack Apache helicopter one.
And I'm going to do my next one here. Now let's see who gets this one. Doing my random.org, where it gets drawn twice, we'll get it. And still going. Oh, there it is. A really boring name.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
You ever given yourself a prize?
Does that count as cheating?
No, but like if you posted in chat, technically you could enter into the random number generator.
That is true. But I exclude staff from being able to. Okay.
And for my giveaway, I give away this to myself.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So a really boring name. There you go. You won a $10 gift card. So I will DM that to you as well, or I'll whisper it to you. Josh343, I need to know whether you want male or
what
female.
What did I even
armor.
Win?
He doesn't even present. He won a trip to Israel.
Oh, jeez.
You won the Halo-themed Wrangler from like 3 years ago.
Oh, yeah, the truck.
Yeah.
I thought that was a Halo 4.
Yeah, they had a Halo 4-themed like Ford F-150 or
Congratulations,
something.
You won.
And it was actually up for sale, was it last year?
Really?
Yeah.
Josh was done with armor.
It. How much did it sell for, I wonder? Probably a lot.
I don't know that he was actually able to sell it.
Oh. That sucks.
It was a strong side, right?
Yeah, whoever won it. I think it was strong side, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was strong side. I'm pretty sure.
Strong.
Oh, cool.
I didn't even insult him with an offer as much as I wanted the truck. I had no money to buy it.
Yeah, man, I know that. I know that feel. I just bought a new car. Bean doesn't like my car.
He drives a Prius.
I bought a Prius. I get such good gas mileage.
I'm a kind of a car guy.
Is it powder blue?
No, it's silver.
Oh.
Silver's the best color.
Is that little flower stickers in the back window?
No, I have a bumper sticker that says Cool Prius, and it's attributed to nobody.
You have a stick figure family?
No, I don't. I really don't have a stick figure family. You heard it first, guys. Church drives a Prius.
One lonely stick figure.
Yeah. Well, that's going to wrap it up for the show tonight. We'll definitely have these guys on again. So if there are questions that people want answered that haven't been answered, either go check out their Discord and ask them over there, or you can wait until we have them on next time and we'll get to having another set of questions available for them.
Always the questions. And I can plug, there's a lot of questions that may have already been answered. We have a super ultra extended Q&A arcade remix hyper edition EX Plus Alpha, which we released on March 29th. I'll send you the link to that, and you can put that in the link dump for the podcast. If people have questions, there's a pretty good chance that those questions have already been answered on that Q&A, which is just a list of some of the biggest questions that we got. Yeah, if you want to link that, that might answer a lot of people's questions before they even have them. Smooth moves.
Yeah. So for us, you can check us out on our social media platforms. We are on Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Discord. And we are going to possibly be moving the show over to Mixer because Mixer offers the near time response on stuff. So you may be seeing us make a move over to Mixer. We're still looking into that, but that may happen pretty soon. So just so people are aware, there's going to be an E3 show after this one. I know we're doing this show after E3, but we already had this one set up and I had to push it back on them because I got a last minute invite to E3. So I didn't want to push this one again, but it was certainly a delight having you all on to talk about the project. Really excited to see what you guys are coming up with and the things that we'll be able to see in the alpha and everything that you guys are working on and just the community, just the passion that you have for making a game and developing it from the ground up for free is just awesome. So kudos to you, and I wish you guys the best on the project going forward and hope the community can really just appreciate the work you've done and get behind what you're doing, because it's really cool.
Well, thank you for all the kind words. We love what we do, and we'd have to for the amount of time we spend on it. But seriously,
oh, yeah.
A return thank you for having us on the podcast. It's been a really great time for all involved, even the man, the myth, the legend, Matthew Lake.
Fun fact, real quick though, I've
honestly had a great time chilling.
Everyone go to Google Maps and type in Matthew Lake. I kid you not.
There is a legitimate lake named Matthew Lake.
Anyway. It doesn't seem that surprising, honestly, because Matthew isn't too uncommon of a name to where it could be named after a natural.
It's not called Lake formation. Matthew. It's called Matthew Lake, which is the best part about
it's
it.
It's super weird. Normally, it would be just Lake Matthew, but no, it's Matthew Lake. So this is, it's christened. It's forever in our hearts, Matthew Lake.
And it streams straight into Sam Lake, which lets out in Alan Wake.
Yes. I think we just went full meta. Anyway, thank you guys for having us on the podcast. Thank you guys for having us on Podtacular. We very much enjoyed it as well, and we'd love to be on in the future.
Yeah, it was great. Love you guys.
Thank you very much.
Well, for all of our listeners, thanks for checking us out. Remember, you can find us over on the podcast network. We're part of a network of gaming-specific shows, including Guardian Radio, Critcast, Project 76, Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can find out more about the network over at thepodcast.com, and that's podcast with a K instead of a C, and let them know that we sent you. Make sure you check back in a couple of days for our 343 show, where we also have an interview with the executive producer behind Halo Wars 2. So we have a lot of cool other guest appearances lined up and some other interviews that we're looking forward to doing. So make sure you check us out. It's kind of our summertime of getting a whole bunch of people on. And especially with a downtime of news, it's a good time to really focus on highlighting some community content. So make sure you guys are tuned in, and we'll be having those coming up soon. We're also going to have a nice big show on that big, long article that I still haven't read yet. But there's going to be lots of stuff, so make sure you're subscribed to us via iTunes or whatever podcast aggregator that you follow us on. And for everyone that's in the chat, thanks for showing up tonight. And I hope to see you back here at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the next show. And until then, keep on, I don't know if there's anything in the frag for installation of one, but just
keep on blaming Bean.
There you go. That works.
Keep on keeping on.